This is Diva Marie Gregory. Welcome to Corpse Run Radio.
Vol'jin said I should step out of the shadows. So I did. Here I am asking you to join the fight. For the Horde! And for the Forsaken. Welcome to Corpse Run Radio.
This is Corpse Run Radio.
We are the Forsaken. We are the Forsaken.
Hello and welcome to episode 45 of Corpse Run Radio. Today I have a couple of Christmassy tunes for you and some other segments that I hope you find interesting and informative. I hope all your preparations for the holidays have gone well. But first, let's start the show. Here is Patti Madsen with one of her songs from her Christmas album, Santa and Me.
When the days go and light, snow is falling on my toes, and angels are hanging above. And I'm back in my hometown, surrounded by sweet sounds, reminded of where we'd begun.
We still made our own rhymes as loved ones before us had done. Now our hearts, will they swell up while three stockings fill up that we've hung upon the chimney?
Actually has a lot of secret bosses, and for this list, secret boss will be a boss that is either hidden in an out-of-the-way location, or requires a special series of events to summon. And with this video, I'll be talking about bosses that fit a little bit of both of those categories. At number 10, we have the Lurker Below. Now, this boss in the Serpent Shrine Caverns, despite being well known today, was actually a secret boss. The only way to access this boss was to fish in this random pool in the water. So once, one day, someone randomly decided to fish in this pool in the middle of nowhere, inside the raid, all of a sudden, they now had a secret boss. And it wasn't too long before everyone else found out about it. But there's one thing they didn't know about the boss, was that if you killed the boss Hydros and cleared all the mobs in the platforms, it would steam the pools, killing all the fishes inside of it, making the phase where Lurker Below spins around with his jet stream thing super easy to do. Especially since Lurker Below was kind of buggy, as when he did the slow turn of his water gun, he would sometimes just spin around his little spot uncontrollably, knocking everyone off into the pool, who would then get killed by the fishes in the water. And since Blizzard was really slow to fix bugs back in the day, the best way to do this fight was to kill him after you'd steam the water. That way you wouldn't have to worry about the jet stream bug, and could just jump into the water during his water gun phase. Because the scalding water did a lot less damage than the fishes did. At number 9, we have Nightbane. Both of them. Nightbane was a secret boss in the original Karazhan, that you had to complete a little quest chain before you could even summon him. Then in Legion, when they re-added Karazhan to the game as a mega dungeon, they added a way to fight Nightbane again, where you had to go around and kill a couple of the bosses within a certain amount of time, and then click crystals behind them. And if you were quick enough on clicking all of the crystals, Nightbane would spawn. And then when you killed Nightbane, he would drop one mount for one player. So if you had a group of 5 people, you just went in there 5 different times if you wanted everyone to get the mount. Now, Legion Nightbane wasn't really a secret boss, as many people knew about him, but the Burning Crusade version absolutely meets the criteria. Number 8. Engineer Omega Plug. This secret boss was added in Legion and Nomergon. In order to access Omega Plug, you have to click on a hidden button on the back of a pillar in the same room as the final boss of Nomergon, Thermal Plug. There are a lot of red buttons in the room, but only one tiny button behind a pillar. Once pushed, the secret boss will spawn, who has max level stats. Despite the boss being in a low level dungeon, Omega Plug is max level, and will wipe any low level group that tries to fight him normally. Same with max level characters too, as once you engage him, he spawns a whole bunch of bombs that basically one-shot you without defensive cooldowns, and there's too many of them to avoid. So what you have to do is click the other red buttons in the room in order to stop the bombs from spawning. If you're smart, you can pull the boss out of the room to reset, and then go in and click the buttons before he respawns, and while the buttons are still active. But if you're like me, you can also just run in and press one at a time and die, and just press the next one on your next attempt, until you eventually get all 6 of them. This boss isn't exactly soloable, and I don't have any friends, so I wasn't able to get a kill. But if you do have friends to bring along and manage to kill it, it does drop a toy item called the Vial of Green Goo for all of your efforts. And at number 7, we have High Inquisitor Fairbanks. Fairbanks was a secret boss in the Scarlet Monastery, hidden away in a secret room where you had to click on a little lever in order to open the secret door. Now, this boss fits a description of a secret boss to a T. It's not needed to complete the dungeon, he's hidden away in a hidden room, and the way to get into the room is to flip a hidden switch. This boss was removed with Mist of Pandaria, however, so when you enter the room nowadays, all you see is a dead body on the floor. I should probably also mention here, this list will include secret bosses which are no longer in the game. Number 6, Anzu. Anzu back in the Burning Crusade was a secret boss in the Sethic Halls, who could only be summoned by druids who had completed the last stage of their druid epic flight form quest, a quest chain which required 15 previous quests, with defeating Anzu being the second to last quest of that chain. And after you completed the quest chain, you'd be given a key that allowed you to summon Anzu whenever you did the place. Now, despite being a secret boss only summonable by one class who had to complete a very long quest chain, Anzu was actually a very well-known secret boss, because he had a chance to drop a mount, and nothing motivates players in WoW more than the chance of obtaining a rare mount model, as Anzu's mount was one of a kind. Nowadays, Anzu is up by default all the time, so you can go in there and farm them out without needing a druid in your party, and it's no longer a secret boss. but it used to be. And it used to be a very popular secret boss. Number 5, Irunaya. This is another one that used to be a secret boss, but nowadays you just fight her like normal whenever you want. In order to unlock her secret door to allow you to actually fight the boss, you had to combine two items you found separately inside the dungeon of Uldumon. One item was located in a chest in a room off to the side, and the other item just dropped from one of the first bosses in the dungeon. Then, once you had the two items, you just combined them together. Then you went to the miniature town in the middle of this room, and you placed the item called the Staff of Prehistoria into the little mechanism, which would then start a little event that would shoot a laser beam at the door and open it, where Irunaya would bust out and you'd be able to fight her. Of course, nowadays, the Staff of Prehistoria is already in the little mechanism, so all you have to do is just click on it to fight her, instead of having to combine it and do it yourself. Number 4, Urok Doomhowl. This boss, located in the lower Blackrock Spire, does show up on the boss list when you enter the dungeon nowadays, but it's listed as a bonus objective. This is how Blizzard keeps some of the secret bosses in the game, but just updated for the modern dungeon interface. Luckily, the way to summon Urok is still the same as it was back in vanilla. All you have to do is kill the first boss in the instance, High Lord Omok, and loot his head. Then, as you run the dungeon, you'll notice various spears and spikes along the walls, and most of them are clickable. So all you have to do is just click on one of them to get it. Then you have to go to this location with a whole bunch of skulls on the floor, and then use the spear and the head from your inventory on the pile of skulls, which will start a little event. Once you kill all the ogres that come out for the event, Urok will come in after. It's nice Blizzard left this little hidden boss in the game with the same summoning mechanics after how many of the other secret bosses were removed. Number 3, Gazranka. This was a secret boss in old school Zul'Gurub that you could only fight through fishing, similar to the Lurker Below. But unlike the Lurker Below, you had to do a little bit more than just fish. What you had to do was go into the raid and find the abandoned camp, and click on this box which would give you a quest. The quest would then send you to Dustwallow Marsh to find Nat Pagel. After completing the quest, you could then buy an item from Nat Pagel, but in order to use the item, you had to fish up 5 specific fish that only spawned inside the dungeon. So you had to go back to Zul'Gurub, fish up 5 mud skunk fishes, then go back to the abandoned camp, and combine the item you bought from Nat Pagel with the 5 fishes, and then fish from the camp. And then you'd be able to summon the Hydra. The Hydra dropped a whole bunch of fishing-themed items, as well as the Tome of Polymorph Turtle. And since the Tome of Polymorph Turtle could be sold, some people would just farm the boss in order to sell them on the auction house. Also, probably not related, but there's a secret rare in Zul'Dazar that's located under a bridge behind a waterfall that's a green Hydra named Gazralka. Considering most of the Hydras have Gaz in their name, it's most likely not directly related, but it is a green Hydra, and its name is very similar. So maybe it could be an homage to Gazranka. Number 2, Atal Alarion. I really hope I'm pronouncing all these names correctly. This troll boss, located in the Sunken Temple, is a really good example of how a secret boss should be summoned. In order to bring this boss out, you have to go into one of the side rooms in the old Sunken Temple when it was still gigantic, and click the snake statue surrounding the room in a particular order. The order for the statues will be shown on screen, and if you click the statues in the right order, then the boss would spawn in the middle of the room. And then, you and your group could just jump down and fight it for some extra loot. This secret boss was also required for 2 class quests, one for druids and another for horde paladins, which, funny enough, they added in the Burning Crusade, despite this being a vanilla boss. The class quests weren't anything important, just one of the many class quests they used to offer back then. But while looking into this boss, I couldn't really see how people would have ever found out the correct order of the statues. I assume there's a way people found out how to click them in the right order in game, but I also think they probably just clicked on them randomly until someone found it out and then just posted it online. With the revamp of a lot of the old dungeons in Cataclysm, they removed a lot of the extra rooms in the Sunken Temple, and with them removed, also the room in which this boss spawned, so it's no longer in the game. And number 1, Yor, the Void Hound of Shafar. This is a secret boss in the Mana Tombs, only available after completing a 10-part quest chain that involves a rep grind. To start the quest chain, you have to get honored with a consortium, which can be accomplished pretty easily with a few quests or farming Mana Tombs. Then you have to complete the quest Seek Out a Mirror in the Netherstorm. Then, after you complete that quest, you'll have to do 3 more quests in Netherstorm that involve getting Ethereum prison keys and freeing prisoners, and getting revered with the consortium, which will require another rep grind. Once those quests are complete, you'll be sent to Blade Edge Mountain and free another prisoner, who you must kill for an item you turn into the image of Commander Amir. He will then ask you for 5 Ethereum prison keys in order to trade to him for 1 Ethereum stasis chamber key, which you will then use to randomly open one of the prisons around Blade Edge Mountain to kill a prisoner for their ID card. But this is not a guaranteed drop, so you must go out and farm 5 more Ethereum prison keys to turn in for the Ethereum stasis chamber key every time you want to attempt this quest. And prison keys do not have a high drop chance, and there were not very many on the auction house to buy when I was doing this quest chain for footage for this video. Once you finally get lucky and get the mark of the Nexus King from one of the prisoners, you'll then get sent on a quest to go to the Mana Tombs to free an NPC from prison. Then you must go back to Blade Edge Mountain to turn in the quest. The next part of the quest chain requires you to be exalted with the consortium, and since you can only clear out heroic Mana Tombs once per day, you can't just farm for the rep easily. So you have to get rep the old-fashioned way, and that's by questing, or endlessly killing adds on the final boss in the Mana Tombs, who spawns one once every 20 seconds, for 20 rep each. Luckily, once you hit Exalted, all you have to do is talk to the quest giver in the Blade Edge Mountain, and that's it. He'll give you the key to Yor's prison. Then, in order to summon the boss, all you have to do is go back to the Mana Tombs, clear up to the last boss, and Yor is located in the prison right next to the final boss. And as long as you have the key, you can summon it. Now, the reason this one is number one is basically because it's the most time-consuming secret boss to spawn out of all the other ones on this list that's also still in the game. Funny enough, if you do manage to do the quest to spawn him, you can actually spawn him during Burning Crusade time-walking weeks to get a little bit of extra time-walking currency when doing the dungeon on its time-walking version. Alright, and that's it for the video. There's actually quite a lot of secret bosses in WoW, so I didn't include all of them. If you think there's a secret boss that I should have included on this list instead of some of the ones I chose, I'd love to hear about them down in the comments.
Enchant later, ooh la la, don't want bad enchants.
Enchant later, ooh la la, don't want bad enchants.
I want black magic, I want life draining.
Hey!
I'll buy them all off ya as long as they're free. I want your mats.
Mats,
I want your mats. I want better stats on all of my gear. Don't think I've upgraded in over a year. I want your mats.
Mats,
I want your mats.
Mats, I want your mats.
If I get in trade chat and I send you a whisper, don't see my bad chance.
You see my gear and I'm decked out in gems, but you caught me with some bad enchants.
Oh,
I wanna raid, but you kicked me and my friends, cause you caught me with some bad enchants.
Oh,
caught with some bad enchants.
Oh,
caught with some bad enchants. On, enchant. I'll take Avalanche or even Mending, cause they're better than my Miner be slaying. I want more stats.
stats, 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 I want more stats. Hey! I'll take TBC, I'd even use Wrath. Cause I'm still using two-hand weapon pact, I want more stats. Stats, 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 I want more stats. Stats, 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 I want more stats.
If I can entrain, Chad, and I send you a whisper,
too,
don't see my bad enchants.
You see my gear and I'm decked out in gems, but you caught me with some bad enchants.
Crystals disenchanting presence, dust, greater essence, crystals disenchanting presence, dust, greater essence, crystals disenchanting presence, dust, greater essence, crystals. It's a DE reference.
Most ass for gloves and a fence on my chest. Give me gold love, I'm enchanting the rest. Enchant some more, I only want the best. Enchant some more, I'm enchanting the rest. I'm enchanting the rest.
God with some bad enchants.
I'm enchanting the rest.
Don't want bad enchants.
God with some bad enchants.
No more bad enchants.
You see my gear and I'm decked out in gems, and I got rid of my bad enchants. Enchant, slay, to ooh la la, don't want bad enchants.
Hello, everyone. When the days are cold and the nights are long, it's the season to get closer to your loved ones or your favorite video games. I figured, why not add to the feels and make a list of the top 10 saddest moments in Warcraft. You all helped me get inspired on Twitter, making a pool of options so vast that it was actually really difficult to just pick 10. But here we go. Starting off the list, we have Runas the Shamed, falling to his addiction to the Nightwell. Over 10,000 years ago, the Nightborn made the decision to shield their city from the threats of the Burning Legion. For millennia, they were cut off from the outside world, building a dependence on their source of power, namely the Nightwell. It sustained them, transformed their bodies, empowered them. But this dependence, it also came with huge negative effects. When Gul'dan and the Legion showed up for a second time, they offered the Nightborn a choice. They could either lower their shield and ally themselves with the Legion, or they could resist and the Legion would lay waste to their entire civilization. Their Queen Elisande saw no other option but to ally herself with the Legion, which some amongst the people they did not agree with. A rebellion was quickly snuffed out, banishing those who dared to speak out, which cut them off from their source of power and began the process of losing themselves. We find Runas the Shamed in Azuna, feeding with his kin on the whelplings of the Blue Dragonflight. We're asked by Stelagosa to go and slay him before he does any more damage to their brood. Here we see him in the first stage, a Nightfallen, desperately trying to find his next fix, his next source of magic to feed upon. Runas, son of Andaril, is trying very hard to hold on to who he once was. He even offers to help us fight against his former friends and family that are now draining the ley lines over at Zarknar and are causing quite a bit of trouble for the Blues. Despite our best efforts though, the Nightfallen and the Withered, they're just too many to handle. They make an all-out assault on Senegos. Now Runas, he tries to warn us about this, but the hunger assaulting his mind, it's simply too much.
Do let me know if you find more. This hunger is consuming my very mind. It is taking every ounce of my energy to just... Can you hear me, my friend? I cannot see you anymore. I think perhaps it is time to say goodbye, then. Thank you, my friend, for letting my last few hours mean something.
And so, Runas the Shamed fully devolves into a Wizard, losing who he was forever. The inner workings of the mind of a Wizard, they're terrifying to behold, but this would not be the fate for his entire race. Some of the Nightborn would rise up against their queen and find a way to the fruit of the Arcandor, saving themselves from their addiction to the Nightwell, but not without great sacrifice. Sacrifice like Arluin, who gave his own life so that his sister and his people, they might have a chance at a future. But none will forget the final moments of Runas the Shamed. At least we could make them mean something. At number 9, when Velen and the Eredar refused the offer to join Sargeras in the Legion, they were forced to flee their homeworld of Argus and became known as the Draenei. From planet to planet, they escaped the wrath of Kil'jaeden until they crash-landed on a little planet known as Draenor, homeworld to the Orcs. Through the manipulations of Kil'jaeden, the honorful Orcs fell into darkness. They exchanged the elements for the Fel, drank the blood of Manaroth, and did horrific things to the Draenei. The path of glory is paved with the bones of the fallen. The Draenei prisoners were sacrificed to open the dark portal. Yet for me, the saddest moment in that sickening war was the assault on Shafrath and the aftermath, one of the last holdouts of the Draenei. By this point, Velen and his people, they knew that the Horde would never stop hunting them unless they were convinced that the Draenei were wiped out. Brave men, women and children stayed behind in the city to make their final stand, to have them believe the war was won, while some of them fled to hide in the Zanger Marsh. They were ready to lay down their lives so that others might live, but they would not go down without a fight. Yet none of them had expected the true horrors that would be committed on that rainy day. By combining the dark powers of the Legion with the Ratpox disease, Gul'dan and his forces, they made a bioweapon, a rat mist that filled the lungs of the few defenders that remained. Immediately, they began choking and retching. They doubled over, many of them dropping their weapons. The barbaric Orcs made quick work of the sickened warriors, reveling in the carnage. When the slaughter was finished, they glared upward, rapid in their desire to tear the defenders on the wall, limb from limb. It was on those walls where Vindicated Obundo was trying to hold the line. He was well aware that they were meant to be sacrificed so that the others would live, but he felt comfort in the fact that his spirits would become one with the light. What he did not know was that the red mist had a very nasty side effect. It disconnected them from the blessing of the light, and he was unable to put up a resistance. Miraculously though, Nobundo would actually survive his encounter with the Orcs and Gromar's Hellscream. When he opened his eyes, he found himself in incredible pain, and the light would not answer his call. Up above, he heard the Orcs and a cry, the sound of a terrified female. The entire expanse of the lower city, lit by the moon and ambient firelight from above, had become a dumping ground for the bodies of the butchered Draenei. And though the rain had stopped, the corpse mounds were still slick with vomit and blood and every manner of waste. Nobunda's heart withered at the sight of children amongst the dead. Despite their youth, many of them had bravely volunteered to stay with their parents, who knew all too well that the Orcs would be suspicious of a Draenei city where no children dwelt and would hunt the last of their kind to extinction. Still, a part of Nobundo hoped and prayed with all his might that the remaining children could be defended, that they would stay safe in the hiding places that had hastily been dug into the mountains. A foolish hope, he understood, but one he had clung to nonetheless. Could anything be more senseless than killing children? Again, his ears were assaulted by the screams of a female, accompanied by taunts and jeers. The Orcs were celebrating, reveling in their victory. Looking up, he pinpointed the source of the noise. High above, jutting out from the cliffs of the barrier hills, the Draenei had built Aldor Rise. There, the Orcs were torturing some poor female Draenei. Now Nobundo understood that he alone, with a broken leg against hundreds, he couldn't do anything for her, or the one that came after that, or the one after that. He fled the city and be haunted by this experience for many, many years. The light would not return to him. those like him that had also survived the red mist, devolved like him into the broken, or in some cases, even the lost ones. Like Runas, they would lose themselves, sometimes even kill themselves, be looked down upon by their own kind, until Nobundo found his way to shamanism, but that's a different story. The extermination of the Draenei, and the horrific, tragic events with the Horde that killed Jaden, they definitely deserve their spot on this list. The orcs would eventually step through the dark portal and invade Azeroth twice, but both times the Alliance defeated them. Those that surrendered were placed within internment camps, where the guards were sometimes so cruel, like beating and pissing on them, that death perhaps would have been the kinder option. But amongst the prisoners was the son of Durotan and Draka. He was raised as a slave gladiator by Blackmoor, with the intent of eventually leading his orc people for his human master. But for all, he would rise up against his bonds of enslavement and reform the Horde. Though their history had been marked in darkness by the manipulations of outside sources, by wrong choices and good people staying silent, for all, he had a different vision for the Horde. They would not forget about the mistakes of the past, but still carve out a new future, carve out a little piece of the land to call their own. But letting go of your past is not so easily done. When Medivh went about warning the world of the return of the Legion, he told Thrall to take his people west to the ancient lands of Kalimdor. Gromash of the Warsong clan, the one who had drank the demon blood first and was a very strong ally in their campaign of liberating their people, he joined him on his journey, but along the way, that ancient old demon blood still pumping in his veins, it started to act up. Thrall had no other choice but to send Grom on the task of gathering lumber in the forest of Ashenvale, sacred trees under the protection of the Night Elves and the wild god Cenarius. A great foe for Grom to unleash his bloodlust upon, but what he didn't know was that there was once again outside sources manipulating events. Manaroth had been summoned to the world and he had noticed his former slaves. By leaving behind his blood, he lured Grom to drink once more. Despite being warned, despite knowing the consequences, Grom and his forces, they embraced the demon blood once again, which did earn them a victory against Cenarius, but also found themselves once again under the control of the demons.
I sailed across a shining sea. Snow-capped mountains twinkled back at me. A song is sung across the breeze, sat by rivers and was blessed by the priest. I saw the moon that's red like blood. I wiped my face from all the dew and the mud. A broken bridge that led me on. I felt a stirring of the presence of the old gods. I came across an effigy. It hummed and burned with a dark energy. A little girl, she took my hand. Her village lost, but she could not understand. Somewhere far, a roar is heard. Unrest is felt and it shakes the earth. Sitting by a fire with my feet up, sharing bread and ale with a pirate. Looking at the stars as we sing bravely, let the tides guide me, somewhere I'll be carefree. Somewhere I'll be carefree. By the light of the moon, and at the gates of a sacred place I chanced upon and confessed with the snakes. And if you have a minute, why don't we go to forest slash or mountains capped with white snow? Look up to the stars as we sing careless. We are the fearless. Let the tides guide us. Let the tides guide us.
Hey, thanks for watching my video. I also have a Patreon page where for $1 a month, you'll receive 4 exclusive songs and other sweet patron-only extras, like early access and downloads to all of my music, live performances, song requests, and more.
No. We are free. Stupid, pitiful creature. I am the rage in your heart. I am the fury of your thoughts. I alone empowered you to bring chaos to this world. And by the endless void, you shall.
Thankfully, Thrall, Jane, and others, they were there to confront and save him.
Ah, Thrall. You always believed that the demons corrupted our race. But that's only half true. We gave ourselves up willingly on Draenor. The other chieftains and I, we drank Manaroth's blood, Thrall. We brought this curse upon ourselves. You did this to our people knowingly? Dabu. Right now, I need you to help me save our people. Manaroth. We must face Manaroth in the canyon.
Then let's go. I don't want to keep the bastard waiting.
So predictable. I knew you would come. And I see you brought the mighty Hellscream. His blood is mine. As is your whole misbegotten race.
Yeah.
blood haze has lifted. The demon's fire has burnt out in my veins. I have freed myself. No, old friend. You freed us all.
Gromash's sacrifice. It liberated his people from the blood curse. A great thing, of course, but it also meant they were now free to relive all of the unthinkable acts that they had performed under the Legion's influence. All the same, in the end, Gromash made the ultimate sacrifice. He brought down the Pit Lord Manoroth at the cost of his own life, which would mean that the orcs were now free. Now some of them were wise or lucky enough to never drink the demonic blood to begin with. Some, like Garrosh Hellscream, the son of Gromash, who met up with Froan Outland during the Burning Crusade. Back then, he was still living in the shadow of his father. He was fully aware of the horrible choices Gromash had made. He had been the first to drink, and the effects of the demons on their race, they were clear for everyone to see. But when Froan told him the rest of their story, their encounter with Manoroth, the liberation of their people, a small seed of pride started to grow within Garrosh. He was a Hellscream, and he decided to join the Warchief of the Horde on Azeroth. Time passed on, and eventually, Garrosh himself became Warchief of the Horde, not agreeing with Thrall's visions. In his mind, the Horde should not have to beg or plead with the Alliance to get what they wanted, what they needed. In his mind, they should conquer and dominate. Eventually, the Warchief pushed forward with his plans, and he set his eyes on a prime target. Feramor, led by Lady Jaina Proudmoore. Although over the years, she had worked very hard on negotiating peace between the Alliance and the Horde, had even helped with saving his father's soul, it was undeniably a prime target to take out to cut off the Alliance entry into their lands. The Horde forces gather for battle, while in Feramor, we read about Jaina taking on a new apprentice. At the request of Ronin, Kindi Sparkshine was the best that the Kirrentor had to offer. It would be quite a challenge, even for someone like Jaina. Although she was merely 22, no more than a teenager for her kind, she quickly proved to be an excellent apprentice. Perky, hardworking, and inquisitive of nature, Christy Golden has a knack of creating characters that quickly pull at your heartstrings. But of course, with the Horde on the rise and on the march of Feramor, this one, as so many others, would not make it out of Feramor alive. They were able to repel the first assault. In combat, Garrosh was forced to call the retreat, and Proudmoore, she thought they had won. But Garrosh was a very smart tactician, and the attack by the Horde forces, it was merely there to draw out as many of the Alliance forces as they could. Up above, the stolen focusing Iris, now turned into a mana bomb, it drifted towards Feramor. Ronin quickly pushed Jaina through a portal to save her life, while drawing the bomb onto him and the protective magics around the keep. Those inside were utterly decimated, but at least the explosion, it was contained in such a way that those outside of Feramor, they were spared the same fate. When Jaina woke up, she returned to Feramor to witness it with her own eyes, to see if there were any survivors. The shape looked like a child at first, which was what drew Jaina's eye. The children had all been evacuated safely. Who? And then she knew. Jaina stood, barely breathing, wanted to look away, but unable to. Slowly, jerkily, her feet moved almost of their own accord, taking her to the body. Kindi lay face down in a still puddle of her own blood. The crimson stain had tainted her pink hair, manning it. And Jaina realized she wanted to plop Kindi into a hot bath and help her scrub herself clean, get her a fresh new robe. She fell to her knees and placed a hand on the girl's shoulder to turn her over. Kindi's body crumbled into shining violet dust. She screamed in utter horror, frantically gathering up the crystalline powder that was all that remained of a smart, lively young woman. She screamed in loss, in grief, in guilt, and then most of all in rage. Rage at the Horde. Rage at Garrosh Hellscream. Rage at those who followed him. Rage at Bane Bloodhoof, who had warned her, but had nonetheless permitted this to happen. had perhaps known this was going to happen. Her screaming turned to raking hoarse sobs that ripped her throat. She kept lifting handfuls of the purple sand, trying to hold on to Kindi. Her sobbing increasing as the dust persisted in trickling through her fingers. The death of Kindi Sparkshine, as well as all the others, the bombing of Fedamore, it would kill the peace seeker that Jaina was, and for a while, she actually went out in an attempt to try and claim vengeance by flooding Orgrimmar. While on that quest, she also visited the Sparkshine family. She had planned to be eloquent, to praise Kindi as the girl deserved, to give her bereaved family comfort, to let them know that Kindi had fought well and bravely, that she had been a light to everyone who knew her, that she died defending others. But what burst from Jaina's lips was, "I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry." And for several long moments, it was the Sparkshines who gave Jaina Proudmoore comfort. Windle, Kindi's father, he's the one who lights the streetlights in the city, and with special permission, he lights them in honor of his daughter. The golden light was traced in the shape of a laughing gnome girl with pigtails. When the sketch was done, it came to life for a moment, small hands covering a giggling mouth, and Jaina could have sworn that she heard Kindi's voice. She glanced down with blurred vision at Windle, and saw that the gnome too wept, though his eyes crinkled a loving smile. Garrus' assault upon Fedamore, the faction war between the Alliance and the Horde, that would eventually make its way to a land previously covered by mist, the land of Pandaria. Alliance and Horde forces were sent out by Varian and Garrus, but in the Cressorang Wilds, we find a group of Tauren who were actually following the orders of their chieftain Bane Bloodhoof. The Tauren of Thunderbluff had dreams of a valley, golden with blossoms, filled with the hope of peace. So it was that they sailed into uncharted waters in search of this mysterious place, but while traveling, a storm caught them, destroying several of their ships, but with the guidance of Lisa, Sunwalker Desko's pregnant wife, her visions allowed them to find a way safely to the land of Pandaria, landing on the shores of Cressorang Wilds. It is there where the Horde troops meet up with them, and the Tauren are greatly feeling the effects of the Shah, a dark and negative influence on the land, so much so that Lisa has fallen ill. Her brother Chesin was sent out to find help, but he found only Mogu and Death. Now it's adventurers that are backed by Desko to help them out, to help his beloved Lisa, and they do so by gathering waters from the pools of youth. The stories say that these waters have the powers to extend someone's life, but on the Alliance side, we actually uncover that these are merely stories. The water does not extend or make new life. It merely transferred it from one to another. Unaware of this, we bring the waters to Lisa, just in time to see her go into labor.
Walk with the Earth Mother.
It's very possible that the waters from the pools of youth caused Lisa to give up her life for her children. Desco grieves for his beloved, yet he also finds himself alone with the responsibility of taking care of his two newborn sons, temporarily named Redhorn and Cloudhoof. This tragic story would not end with his wife dying in labor. The Golden Lotus of Pandaria, they're looking for a new member, and they have a ritual to decide who is destined to join them. The Red Crane GG himself informs them that it was Desco's children who were destined to join them, but he had not expected it to be twins, and they only needed one. Desco would have a choice on who to leave behind, who would be to step up and follow the path that the mother had seen for them in her visions. But Desco could not. He could not say goodbye to one of his children, not after just losing their mother. He refuses to choose at all, and he sets out to leave the Vale to keep his children safe. Members of the Golden Lotus, they eventually catch up to him, but they don't force him to make his choice. His children are connected to the Order now, and it was their mother's visions that had brought them here. But this wasn't what Desco had expected. They came here looking for peace, not to lose everything that he had. In his mind, the safest place for his children, that was to be right at his side. If the Golden Lotus really wants to follow them, so be it. But that night, they come under attack. Quillen and Mogu. A fierce battle in which the Paladin, he desperately tries to keep his children safe, like his wife had begged him to do. Sadly, Redhoof was hit by a poison blade, while Cloudhoof, Desco hadn't even noticed when, he'd been crushed in battle. Despair swept over him, wondering if he had been the one that had crushed his poor boy. But the Golden Lotus told him to focus, that there was still hope for one of them. At the pools of hope, the poisoned cup was placed in the water. At first, nothing happened. But then, the great red crane appeared and healed its wounds. Desco, hugging his son tightly, asked the Celestial if there was anything that he could do for his other son. Before he was finished speaking, the red crane had already disappeared. Afterwards, Desco willingly decides to leave his son behind with the Golden Lotus, to no longer run away from their destiny. Redhoof would always be his son, and he could visit him in the Vale, but such a thing was no longer possible for Cloudhoof. Desco sat down to rest before beginning the funeral. It was still dark out, but the dawn would come soon. He could feel it. The when didn't concern him any longer. "We're home," Desco said out loud. He held Cloudhoof in his lap and stroked the child's mane. He turned to face east, knowing it was only a matter of time before the Genia appeared. And that's where we'll cut off the top 10 list for today. Next week, we'll count down the top 5. So by all means, if there are any more sad moments of Warcraft that you would recommend, let me know in the comments down below. For now, thank you very much for watching, everyone. Subscribe if you like my videos. Leave a like if you enjoyed this one. And until next time, see ya!
Hark where the Horde, I'm for the Horde, all seem to say blood elves are gay. But we don't fear, won't shed a tear, we're high in rank, ally we gank. Look, Torogar, heard from afar, war cries we sing, don't shivery.
More lucky fears, our team we cheer, grabbing the flag, game in the bag.
Humans they frown, then hit the ground, heavy we feel, well that is fail.
Red and black roll, noobs who we school, blue and gold try, but they all die.
Ding dong ding dong, that's our song, ding all the time, even Christmas time.
Ding always win, Horde is born in, DG's we own, they are our home. Shed a tear, we're high in rank, ally we gank. Look, Torogar, heard from afar, war cries we sing, don't shivery.
War lucky fears, our team we cheer, grabbing the flag, game in the bag.
Humans they frown, then hit the ground,
heavy we're male, well set is fail. Red and black roll, noobs who we school, blue and gold try, but they all die.
Ding dong ding dong, 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 dong,
always win, Horde is born in, DG's we own, D are our home.
We always win, Horde is born in, DG's we own, they are our home.
Look, Torogar.
Hi, I'm Hazel, and today we're going through some of the most exciting undocumented changes of 8.1.
There was definitely a wide range of things that didn't make the patch notes this time around. This won't be a complete list, but just kind of highlighting some of what stuck out to me. First, for my Alliance brethren out there, they added these two miraculous wooden planks near Vindicator Jaylana. You can now jump directly to her from the fountain area for all of your 7th Legion needs. And by extension, you can now hop and skip your way right to the boat without needing to dive into the ocean and click a ladder. My armor must be really salty and uncomfortable by now. It still requires a slightly well-timed jump to make it, but hey, it could be worse. At least we're not dealing with a whole horde pyramid situation. Next, book offhands now sheath on the hip. So this is just books, other styles of offhands don't do this yet. If you're carrying an offhand, keep in mind that you can mog into a book if you want this, or out of a book if you don't. I feel like it sits really high on me, but it wouldn't be the first time that something has sat at an uncomfortable level on gnome bodies. Next, they've added auctioneers in Boralus and Dazar lore for engineers. You can find these near the scrapper and engineering trainer setup, but really only if you have engineering trained. Without it, you don't even see the NPC. I'm guessing that's to avoid rubbing it in our faces, but that's a new one. I think. I'm not an engineer. Maybe there's just exclusive stuff hidden everywhere. Next up, the pig in Freehold no longer drops in the center. So much for the everybody spam click the middle thing. If you are one of the three people on the planet who was sad about that strategy and really just wanted to play catch the pig, this is your lucky patch. Congratulations. Another one you may have noticed is that many of the Pandaria Shrine portals have been removed. They left out the portals to Northundalaran and then Shattrath and Stormwind or Orgrimmar, but the other main city portals are gone. You can still find portals to these classic racial cities in Legion's Dalaran, which you should still have your Hearthstone for. This is probably a change made in anticipation for the upcoming portal room feature coming down the road, but those are definitely not here yet, so who knows. Next, over in the sound options, there is now a checkbox for mute pet sounds. Now, I did some testing, and this appears to be for hunter pets, not battle pets. My molten corgi was still able to bark at me incessantly. If you like to play with sound on, but you are terrified of singing sunflowers, you are still not safe. However, this is still good for hunters that want some peace and quiet, or anybody that fights hunters in PvP. Pet people may notice that Smoochums got a model change this patch. At launch, he was a translucent gray version of his living self, and in 8.1 he has gotten notably more ghosty. He's tougher to see and definitely a little less cuddly looking. My guess is that this was an intentional update, but the popular opinion does seem to favor the old one, so maybe they'll roll it back and then make more ghost cats with the new model. Next, island expeditions now give you a mysterious treasure map when you complete your quota for the week. That map gives you a mission on your mission board that will reward you a piece of island expedition loot, which could include the mounts, pets, and transmog, or you might see something like Azurite gold, war resources, the usual grab bag goodies of BFA. Make sure that once you've used the map to spawn the mission that you remember to send it out before it despawns. You should have a couple of days, but better safe than sorry. I do like the extra motivation to do some weekly islands because, quite frankly, I needed it. And the last highlight, which is sure to shake up your world, Shaw of Anger's map icon has been fixed to its correct permanent location. Maybe now I'll be capable of flying straight there without getting lost and then wondering why I'm in Pandaria. Or maybe not, some things don't change. So those were my favorite surprise changes of 8.1. Thanks for watching, let me know what you think, and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye!
As all good things, even this episode 45 must come to an end. And so for the last time this year, I would like to thank our contributors for this episode. We have Patty Madsen with her Santa and Me. We have Hero Mordex with Top 10 Super Secret Bosses in WoW. Silver Latomi with Bad Enchants and Carol of the Horde featuring Kavo. We have Noble 87 with his Top 10 Saddest Moments in Warcraft Part 1 of 2. So the second part will follow in episode 46. We have Charm with Let the Tides Guide Us and her song The Christmas Song will end this show today. So one more dose of Charm, which to be honest you can't ever have enough of. And we have Hazel from Hazelnutty Games with Biggest Undocumented Changes of 8.1. Alright, that's basically it for me for this episode, for this year. I want to wish everyone, every listener, every other person, friends and family, a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, whatever type of festivities you hold. Just have an awesome time with your loved ones, with your friends. If you choose to be by yourself, I hope it is by choice, which is totally fine. I know that there are people that choose to stay by themselves, and had I not had a friend of many years this year that I had to basically take care of because she lost her mother a couple of months ago, and it is her first Christmas without any parents left, I basically would have been by myself by choice. So there's nothing wrong with that, if it is by choice. Everyone have a Merry Christmas, have happy holidays, and see you all hopefully next year. And like I said earlier, it will be Charm with her Christmas song that will take us out of the episode. Have a great time, everyone. Bye. I hope you have enjoyed your time with the Forsaken of Corpse Run Radio this episode. Should you have an idea for a little segment of your own, I would love for you to become part of the cast. Or if you are a creator of Warcraft original or parody music and would like to be featured on the show, contact us at corpserunradiomail@gmail.com or on Twitter at corpserunradio. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/corpserunradio. Contact information for our contributors is available on our website, crr.podbean.com, along with the links for the segments played on the episode and other information. Corpse Run Radio is a non-profit fan podcast. All segments, music, and sound effects are used with permission.
Father, for flying in Draenor. Thank you for listening. Now go out, my minions. Let nothing stand in your way. Until next time.